We're ready to get started. Good afternoon. A small but dedicated crowd, I'm sure. So now we can see if you fall asleep, actually. So few of you that we'll pay attention to that. So welcome to the session about building business apps on the business application platform. My name is Julie Strauss. I'm a principal program manager in the business application team, focusing specifically on the ISV workload. Not going to pronounce his last name, so he can do that himself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Michael Grenet. I'm the principal product architect for our business application ISV success team.
Okay. So if the title doesn't say it, but the abstract was kind of spelling out this is specifically for focusing on ISVs and how to build apps on the platform. If some of you are here that are not ISVs, that absolutely does not matter. This session will still be relevant. But can I see, just for a show of hands, how many of you are actually building apps for sale, or in either as SI or system integrators or ISVs? It's half.
Okay, and how many people are at least potentially thinking about how they would leverage Dynamics, trying to understand how they would leverage Dynamics?
We'll change that then.
Hopefully.
How many of you are already working with Dynamics? How many of you are already building on Power Apps? Okay. It's a good...
Good mix.
Okay. So I assume for those of you who are either working with Dynamics or Power Apps, all of them, I am sure you have heard James Phillips, our VP, talk about the digital feedback loop, such as well, for that matter. But we wanted to just bump it high level and put in context what the pieces are and the platform. So essentially, we think about customers, product, and people, and how, with the currency of data, these processes around these fundamentally are changing literally every day. So the way we engage with customers, the way we build our products, and the way we attract and maintain talent are fundamentally transforming. It used to be we would engage with a customer when they show up in our ERP system or CRM system. We know their name, we're entering, and we engage. Now we have many apps where you're literally creating profiles for anonymous users. You already know them and can map them by the time they log in or you sign them up for your app. And the same kind of your product, at least building business apps, right? We collect all the telemetry. We understand where users get blocked, where can we reduce bottlenecks, et cetera. Our cars, right? You drive your car. We send telemetry back to how the cars are manufactured. And looking at kind of the horizontal apps for Dynamics 365, the apps we deliver as part of the platform, sales, marketing, talent, operations, and finance, and service, are really all located as part of this digital feedback loop. And some of the changes we have been going through for a number of years is really taking the apps apart rather than being one CRM app. You now have sales and marketing more specialized. But what is even more important, this is all working against a common data platform, common data substrate. What that means is when you're developing product and when you are engaging with customers, all the data are now, we are making it much easier for that to go into a single data store. Like looking before, we really had CRM, finance and operations, or CRM, and ERP as more or less completely separate systems. And you will see as we move forward how these systems come closer and closer together, working against a single data substrate. Okay? But again, given that this is a focus on ISV, there's a huge role for you to play here. And we get asked about this all the time, like where does the ISV ecosystem fit in? Everywhere in between, and actually on top as well. So the way you can think about the platform, you can take the apps that we deliver out of the box and further extend. And you can do horizontal and vertical value on top of that. So for example, you can buy a marketing app, or you can buy a marketing app optimized for banking, right? Or a marketing app specialized for credit unions. What's the difference? Do you want to call it a customer or a member? So the more targeted you can get, the more wealth there is for that entire ecosystem to build targeted and specialized apps on top. Okay, so stepping back a little, we had quite a few questions down in the booth for what is the common data service, what is the common data model, how does the things fit together, where's XRM? So this is a picture of what our systems or the platform looked like prior to March, beginning of March, where we announced what we call the Common Data Service 2.0. Have you heard about the Common Data Service 2.0? Some of you have. So essentially, before this, we had the business application platform, we had CRM and the marketing, sales, and service app built on top of one platform, which we call XRM. There's a huge ecosystem already building vertical apps on top of that system, extending the apps we delivered. Then we have, on the other side, the AX platform of finance and operations, a separate data store, the ERP store, also with a partner ecosystem on top of that. And in the middle, we introduced what we called Power Apps or Canvas apps, which was delivered with what we call Common Data Service 1.0. If you wanted to integrate the data between F&O and AX and XRM, you would essentially do that through the Common Data Service, meaning you would always move data to do that integration. Now, in March, we announced Common Data Service 2.0, which essentially merged Common Data Service 1.0 and XRM. And what that means is whenever you build or extend upon Dynamics 365 for sales or marketing or service, you are working directly against the Common Data Service. That also means that on top of the Dynamics apps that we provide, you have the ability to customize and you have the ability to build Power Apps on top. So there's some messaging we'll talk through as well. But that also means you have fewer moving parts because you start populating the Common Data Service the second you use any of the Dynamics 365 apps. And there's a little difference in the error. So the double errors means we built on that platform. That is the data store for Dynamics 365. Finance and operations are still a separate store, but we have connectors that do that. You only do one hop, and you can push data directly into Common Data Service. We're still at a stage where you have to define what data you want to move, but over time, that will also be more and more seamless. Obviously, we have done a lot of work with Office 365, data from LinkedIn, also attracting that into the data platform, into the Common Data Service. And obviously now, ISV apps and extensions are now not a bar on top of the apps. It is side by side. What that means is before, we didn't actually allow you to take XRM as a platform and build your own apps without dependency on sales and marketing and service. With Common Data Service 2.0, we allow you to do that. We allow you to have pure platform, build your own apps on top. So that's a big change for some. Some said, oh, you look like, don't care. But it is. It will give you more opportunities to go and build apps, either both extending but also building your net new apps. Okay? So with that, one more piece we added. We say business application platform. We have also added BI to that. We always had BI, but we haven't really done the work to make it part of the platform. So you might have heard of another announcement we made called Common Data Service for Analytics. So we have one Common Data Service. All the schemas are defined in the Common Data model. So if you use sales and you have account as an entity, or table for you, those of you used to SQL, that table, as soon as you start populating it using sales, that table or that data is stored in Common Data Service for apps. You can set up data sync into Common Data Service for analytics. So now automatically you can start building analytics app using Power BI on top. Meaning you do not have separate data stores. It is all the Common Data model, and we have different flavors, transactional flavor and an analytical layer. That also means as an ISV, you can start thinking about building analytical apps as well as transactional apps. And actually, for the remainder of the time, we're going to walk through an end-to-end demo of what it means to build and extend, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay? One thing I just wanted to point out really quick on the previous slide is that for many of our applications, for folks who've used Relationship Insights, Customer Insights, these analytic applications that we already had are actually being rewritten completely to follow this particular paradigm. So within the next year, all of these applications will be rebuilt, and a customer who purchases, has a Dynamics 365 tenant, purchases Relationship Insights for et cetera, it will actually be part of their tenant. They're not going to need a separate AI or ML, even though that's what it's built on, because that's built into the stack.
Make sense?
Yes.
Today you have to define it, and in all full transparency, Common Data for Analytics, we announced it. A lot of, I think the public preview is another, I think it's for this summer.
Yeah, it's still like 3 months.
And so there's private preview. And yes, now you have to define what you would like to sync, and there's obviously some latency in there. The idea is over time, it becomes more and more natural with or automatic defining. Because you might have, or you will have, data that you never want to flow through your transactional system, like you might have log, et cetera, that you think of CDS for analytics more as a kind of data lake type, where you can have more unstructured data as well and much larger data volumes. But anything where you want to build a companion app in addition, you want to have in the common data service for apps, because it will automatically flow through. So for Common Data Service for Apps, it happened to be SQL. For Common Data Service for Analytics, it's based on Azure.
It's
for blob storage, for storage, and working on the compute layer on top of that. And then obviously for that as well, if you're familiar with Power BI or the BI pieces, analysis services go on top for a lot of that compute as well, since for right now it's blob store, right? So you have semantic models on top for doing your calculations, et cetera.
Yeah, and one other big reason why they did that is because with the new release and as they continue the preview, you can actually mount reference data from a separate tenant to a customer's tenant or to another SaaS implementation. So therefore, you don't have to actually copy the data. You can actually say, I have an Azure blob over here and I have a tenant over here for Power BI. I can actually reference mount that to the Power BI instance and create a model off that.
So the intent is there that growing up story should be super friction free. Okay?
Yep.
Okay?
Sure, no.
No, go ahead. Can you please use the mic? Yeah, sorry. We were being sloppy because the room is so small.
In the previous diagram, you can hear me, right?
Now we can.
Yeah.
Okay. In the previous slide that you showed where, you know, you said, you know, CDS enables a unique capability where, unlike previously where you had to get all of the XRM capability, you can just enable the capability that you're building in CDS and offer that as a SaaS solution. How does the licensing model for that work? And this talk is really building SaaS applications on top, right? So how does the licensing model work? And how does the multi-tenancy work? Because you know my multiple customers that I sell my SaaS service to may end up having a slightly different schema for their own CDS.
I just repeat, and some of these I think we will park because some of them are a little more detailed. But one of the questions is how does the licensing work for building pure apps on top of the common data service without the Dynamics pieces, I think I heard. And the second was how does that work for multi-tenancy? So if we take the first for licensing first, if you build an app that leverages any of the Dynamics 365 entities that come as part of the app, you have the full app license for that. If you're not leveraging any of those entities, which is really how we define it, and use the pure platform only and what we call the core entities, then you will buy a Power Apps license. So that is a different licensing model, obviously. So there's those two. But it really depends on what are the entities and business logic you use. Like, do you extend the app or use any of the core app entities, or do you build all custom entities, for example?
And obviously, we're looking at the difference between whether it's an embedded application or whether or not you're just placing an application into their tenant. Because part of what the platform is intended to do is change the paradigm of how we do applications as well. So it's, in some cases, it actually may be a different model that you actually follow for your building your applications on the platform and actually providing that to your customers, versus today, we actually do have some folks who are a pure SaaS implementation. And by working with us, they said, oh, and they actually moved much of what they do into the actual customer's specific tenants. So they no longer per se even have a SaaS implementation.
And for the multi-tenant, that can be a whole talk on its own. So I'll quickly summarize to say the common data service for both applications and analytics is intended for living in the customer tenant. So if you want to build a multi-tenant SaaS app, Azure, SQL Data, any of the data stores in Azure, SQL Database, Postgres, MySQL is really your choice for that. But there are still interop opportunities where you can feed data from that into the common data service for your customers, where they now will have the ability to create their own Power Apps on top. And we do see that. So feel free to come up afterwards and we can talk. There is a play for both. But just to be sure, common data service is designed for living in the customer's tenant. Okay?
Yep.
So just to summarize what the business application platform looked like now, having taken you through those recent changes, is really Power Apps, which now includes XRM, Flow, and Canvas app from Power Apps. That is what we talk about as Power Apps. And Power BI, you have the common data services on each side, which are really connected through the definition of the entities in the common data model, okay? And in addition to apps, of course, supporting Dynamics 365 for building apps or for extending and for building standalone business apps, it is also the extensibility platform for Office. What does that mean? It means that if you have, you can create business app that you can embed into Teams. You can have, if you have modern list in SharePoint and you say customize, you actually open up for the maker experience in Power Apps. Or if you want to create a mobile app on top of a SharePoint list, we also auto-generate a Power App, which you can go and create. What does that mean for you as ISVs? It means that customers will get more and more familiar to this tooling for building and customizing app, regardless of where they are. So that's kind of the intent and where you get the economy of scale and user education. And obviously, it's all built on Azure. So whatever we do is kind of based on Azure. And so if you take a technology like Flow, which is also share code based with logic apps, this is kind of how you get into that Azure stack as well. But again, the core infrastructure is really Azure, so there's no cliffs there.
Yep. Yes. You mean from, say, Office, LinkedIn, et cetera?
Since developers are being used to use the Graph API, and some of the entities like SharePoint lists come up there also.
Yeah, so.
It's like two APIs, but the same information won't be on both of them.
So we are working on two levels, one which is the integration of their data via their common data models with their Graph APIs. As well as the fact, and I don't have a time for this, but we are looking at what would it mean even for Dynamics to be part of the Microsoft Graph all up. And obviously, if that happens, then you'll be able to communicate across the graph for all of that. So that's being talked about now. We're just debating on what it is. But yeah. Absolutely. Well, and you know, one of the things, as Julie was mentioning, I think that is also, It's sometimes harder to land. I'll be transparent with some of the ISVs initially, which is sometimes it's the second or third ISV that looks at this and says, well, you've built this vertical application or you've built this horizontal application, and now all of a sudden I'm going to go extend it. And it's actually now easier for them to go build on it. But sooner or later, that's yourself as well. So you're out there saying, great, there's an EMR application out there in the cloud, or there's an SIS for education, and now you want to go build on top of that because you don't want to be an EMR for healthcare, but you do want to build apps on top of it. So we're working to enable through the combinated model the ability for you to do that. So it's not just about what you deliver, it's about how much easier it's going to be for you to deliver everywhere else as well.
Okay. So two more slides, and then we'll go into demo. This was also a question that has been coming up in the expo areas a lot. It's like, what does it mean that you merged all of this? And if we work from the back end, obviously, the fact that we are defining the schemas at a high level across applicate transactions and analytics is huge. It also means that as you engage and build out, for example, vertical apps, you can go and look at what are the definition for customer and build accordingly, right? You can take dependencies or you can build your own, but that's all documented there. Then obviously for the common data service, that it is a unified offering where you can build apps, horizontal or vertical. Thinking Dynamics, we have often been talking about vertical apps, but obviously we are also opening up for the horizontal without having dependencies on Dynamics 365. And then the fact that we are moving towards a common data substrate, where whenever you accrue value in form of your ISV apps, that data become available for business users, technical business users, to build composite apps on top of that. Obviously, all the goodness from the model-driven apps, the model-driven authoring experience, where you model out your business processes you want to build the app around. So if you're in a bank, you want the person there signing a customer up for a loan to go through very specific process steps every single time. You can build your app around that versus Canvas app, which is more free form, more lightweight, WYSIWYG experience. So you have those two different experiences that you can use on the platform. Obviously, stuff like server-side logic, business flow, solution, and packaging. So if you're used to working with Dynamics 365 and the XRM platform, you know you can package up your apps and distribute through AppSource. We are still working on what it takes to include the Canvas-driven Power Apps as part of solutioning, but we are working towards that. And obviously, as an ISV and thinking about reselling, you want to be able to package that. And then SDKs we had for both platforms before. Now it's all a single one. And obviously you can do stuff like your own custom plugins. Whenever we in the low-code, no-code experiences run out of gas for what you need to do, we have the plugins so you can create your own custom workflows and plug them in. And then obviously on the Canvas app side, that is the WYSIWYG tooling. And I think that really has two values from an ISV perspective. One is we see ISVs build more lightweight companion apps, where instead of having, let's say, one customer engagement experience, you build smaller experiences tailored for a specific audience. So if we take the bank example, you might have the business process or the app for how you make sure you get all the data you need for signing a customer up for a loan. That is very process-oriented. You might have a greeting app where you have a greeting person standing in the bank, taking your name, see what you are in for, get you in the right line, or say, look, we have half an hour wait time. Why don't you go and take a coffee in the cafe and we'll text you when you're there? That's a very different experience. You don't want them to see that same UI and fill your way around it. So that is really what the lightweight Power App experience or the Canvas app experience enables, to create these smaller companion apps in addition to that. And in addition to that, it's not just for you as an ISV to develop these, it is also enabling your customers to now take the data you bring to the platform and build apps, mashing that up with data they already have in the common data service. So it's really the ability for them to get more value out of the value you're already providing.
Yep. Yeah. As a matter of fact, earlier today, we had a young lady come up to us and ask us how she should think about building her particular Power App. And one of the things was she was actually, her initial thought was, I'm going to combine all of the different personas that I have as if it's this thick client, as if she's going to go in and build one entire application that meets all the needs of everybody in there. And our message back to her was, let's kind of focus on what's the specific activities you're trying to do and what's the persona. And that should be, in most cases, an app to itself. So that way you're only doing the activities you need to do within that particular Power App.
Okay. So getting to actually building on the platform, we think of it in three buckets, and we can come up with many different buckets and pivots for how we talk about it. But we really think about connect, embed, and extend. So connecting, obviously, as you can see, we would like for all the data to be in the common data service. That means you don't really connect anymore. The data is already there. But that is not the reality. You will always have data living in other systems. So we have more than 200 plus connectors connecting to external systems. You can either say, I want to move this data into the common data service as part of my experience. So you can say, I just want to connect on read. So you can define how you want to do that. We have the 200 plus connectors. We see many ISVs investing in their particular solution for a specific connector to a system we are not providing connectivity to out of the box. So that, again, can be just a piece of connector you put on AppSource for resell, or it can be part of your solution. And again, we also have a low-code experience to create custom connectors. The piece of embedding, that actually has many flavors. So there is taking, like the one you probably know already is Power BI. Create visualizations and dashboards and embed into either Dynamics 365, into Power Apps, into Canvas app, or even into your own third-party SaaS app, your multi-tenant SaaS app, right? You can also take external data and embed into Dynamics 365. You can take Power Apps Canvas app and embed into both Dynamics and into Power BI. So there's a lot of kind of angles for embedding. The one gap that I would call out here that we don't do yet super well is taking Power Apps or Canvas app content and enable you to embed that into your multi-tenant SaaS app. If that a requirement you have, we would love to hear about it. We see, obviously, a lot of demand for the Power BI embedding. We haven't done it for Power Apps. If that's something you feel a big need for, please feel free to send an email. We'd love to hear about it. Extend is by far the biggest bucket in many ways in terms of kind of different flavors of extensions you can do. You can extend, obviously, the Dynamics 365 apps. Right? You can add further customizations to them. If you don't like our search UI, you can build your own search UI. You can build custom controls. If you need a signature, a little pad embedded in, you can do that as a custom control. So you can extend the actual app. You can do horizontals. You can do verticals. And you can extend the platform. So let's say you want to create a vertical app for, like what Michael is going to do, a veterinary hospital app, right? There's entities in there that are very specific to Michael's solutions, like an entity like a pet and a breed and a species. If you say, look, I think this is super critical for other ISVs to build on as well, he can go ahead and say, I want to extend the common data model, the definitions on GitHub for how I define pet, because I want other ISVs in that same space to leverage that single entity for a pet. This is how kind of the flywheel starts to be created. Instead of having five different ISVs do their own definition of pet, how can you collaborate on a single one so that when you install, it's much more lightweight and reusable, and the customer can reuse that same data on top.
And just one other thing is there's also kind of the flip side of extend, which is folks within Office, Teams, et cetera, are looking at extending their platforms via our platforms. The business application platform is intended for them to also say, great, we don't want to build this functionality out of the box. We're just going to embed it via the Dynamics platform. So it's actually far reaching across the company as well.
Yes. So we actually have ISVs who built business app on top of SharePoint as well. Sometimes they pull the data in, sometimes it lives in SharePoint as the back end, but that is the business application platform that enables those and kind of delivers those experiences.
And I think the session is tomorrow that Ryan is doing for CDS as a whole, since this wasn't technically a CDS-specific talk.
So,
but
yeah, at the end of the session, we have a list of all the different sessions that go more into detail. So with that, it's almost app building time. So this is the entire process that Michael will go through. So essentially, first, create entities. This is also connect to entities. That's first. Get data into the system. Actually, before I go there, I want to highlight a few things that we are not covering. They are in the platform, but we only have an hour and 15, so we don't have time for them. So these are all the pieces that we are not going to cover in detail, but they do exist in the platform. It is not that we don't have it, right? So obviously, solutioning, packaging, there is a session tomorrow with Matt Barber. He goes much more into detail on that. Versioning, obviously, you're building ISV app. You want to be able to version. You want to be able to patch. That infrastructure is there. Security. Obviously, relationship, you create your own custom entities. We're not going to walk you through it, but that's obviously a key part of the platform. The custom visuals and custom controls, plug-in and SDKs, and obviously the application lifecycle management, part of the admin experiences as well as the Office and Azure integrations that are, there was a session, I think yesterday,
yesterday.
On that. But think of the business application platform as the extensibility platform for Office as well.
But take into account, as we mentioned, every one of those can be part of this, and obviously half of those things you can either embed in or leverage as part of the platform. I may touch on one as we do it, but several of those we're not going to cover.
Yep. And literally each of these could easily be an hour session of each as well. So here's the flow we'll go through. Create entities. And connect to data. We're not going to connect. I think we might be creating entities. We will then go ahead and build some business logic. We will already have that in the demo, but this is really the point of what are the business processes you want to map out as you build the application, going through actually building the app. We will show you both experiences. Michael, I'm not really going to do anything. I just plan to disrupt
him. Keep me honest.
Yeah. So he will show how to build a form using kind of the model-driven, but also build a Canvas app as a companion app. And then customize and extend. We will be customizing two ways. Customizing because we're adding custom entities, but also customizing in the sense that the starting point Michael will take is we pretend there has been a system integrator or an ISV who already created a solution for the veterinary hospital, and here going to be further extending that. So that's kind of how that comes into play. Then we'll do some Power BI visualizations that we are going to embed and then publish. Publish means two things. It means publishing into AppSource for resell discovery if you're an ISV, but it also means publish to your organization. Like, once you have acquired this app, how does the customers actually publish? We're not going to go through that in detail.
Smith and them will do that tomorrow.
Yes, there is a theater session tomorrow covering all of AppSource publishing as well. With that,
awesome.
Demo
Thank you, Julie.
Time. Do you want to tee up what you're going to show?
Sure, yes. So I'm just curious, show of hands, how many folks know how to go out and actually create a CDS 2.0 instance and start using it? Okay, well.
I tried, but it was turned off, so.
Okay, so a couple.
I hope so, otherwise he's going to fail.
So, number one, as Julie mentioned, what really the starting point of today is one of the messages we definitely want to get across, especially since an ISV and an SI perspective, is we are going to effectively say, look, we have a pre-existing solution, and that pre-existing solution is going to be an extension of CDS and a CDM. And the idea behind it is it is effectively something that enables you to have visualizations, connectors, power apps, all the components of what we are going to, what we call accelerators, and that's one thing that we're focusing on within the company, are vertical accelerators for the industry. While at the same time, we're looking for SIs and ISVs to help us build those accelerators, and also to target specific areas within the horizontal industry and across the stack. So the first thing I want to do, just briefly, because I know not many people said they actually knew how to do this, because I'll be honest, it is fairly complicated in some cases. So there's actually sort of five steps that you would want to do if you want to leverage CDS as a whole, and not per se just Power Apps, but the whole thing. First, you need to have an email account that you're going to leverage, because really what we're going to focus on is setting up a trial. Now, we're not going to go through that whole process today, but I just want to point out how you can do it so that you can go back after the session or tomorrow and actually try it out. So whether you use Outlook or Gmail or Yahoo, you just need an email account that you can associate with this. The next thing is you're going to need at least an Enterprise E3 trial. This is the easiest one to get. You're not going to be required to put a credit card in and accidentally forget and have to start paying 30 days from now. You just create the trial. It takes about 10 minutes, and you're good to go. Once you have your E3 license, what I normally do is, you can see I actually opened up all these tabs on purpose. I just keep opening a separate tab to do the next one. Each one of these represents the apps within our space. Some of these within our space, like if I scroll down to the marketing app, are actually based on our new UCI visualization model, which you'll see as part of the work we're going to do today. For myself, if I'm just practicing around sales, is the easiest one to do. It's the quickest. What it actually ends up giving you is effectively what you would have called an old version XRM database, or excuse me, an XRM UCI web client, as well as all the new UCI stuff on top of it. So it is a true CDS instance. Anybody who goes out and creates a Dynamics 9.0 customer engagement or greater will be on CDS. Anybody before that is effectively not today. So Power Apps is pretty simple. Once you've done those things, realistically, it's just clicking the sign-in button. It'll log you in. And from that point, which we'll show you in a minute, you can start building your apps directly against that particular instance. And then lastly, the same for Power BI. The one thing I would recommend for folks, if I'm just curious, how many folks use Power BI in most of their solutions today, or some of their solutions today? And one last question, how many people use AI or ML in Azure for the solutions that they build? Okay? So if you do set this up, I would recommend, after you get the Power BI part set up, there's one more step. You can upgrade it to a pro account for free for 60 days. I recommend you do that as well, because you're going to want to build apps, and it's a little easier to do that. So the first thing I want to show merely is, when you look at CDS and now you think about Dynamics, the way I explain it to folks is it's really a Dynamics 365 container. Many times when we go to customers and they say, you know, am I building an app? Is it going to be inside of, quote, my container? Is it going to be a Power App? Where does it actually live? Today, when you build an application, each instance is going to have an actual My Apps space, so that you can actually see all the apps that you've included inside of your CRM instance, or in this case, customer engagement. At the same time, you will actually still see, just like you used to, if you were to actually go into, this is my instance, if you actually go in and you say, great, I want to look at my custom instance, which reflectively is your Dynamics CRM customer engagement instance, that's where everything will be. So here, now, enables you to look here. And when you build an application and you deploy it, which we'll do later today, within the customer engagement environment, there's actually a new section for apps that'll actually show up. And this will be where all of your applications will show up for customer engagement. Now, all of these can effectively, and they do all run on CDS. They show up here as apps. And so you will notice as we do this, what we have: Power Apps, we have Power BI apps, and we effectively have customer engagement as F&O apps. And so the term gets used quite a lot. The first thing we want to show is that again, what we wanted to be able to do is effectively show you what would it mean to produce an accelerator pack, or what would it mean to actually extend the platform in a way which would allow you to share that IP through AppSource. It may not actually be what you would call a full vertical solution or even a full horizontal solution, but it could be the starting point. And so somebody had asked, or the gentleman in the back asked about, you know, the business models and the licensing models and such. So this is part of the discussion is, depending on what my IP is, what does that look like for me to put on AppSource, and how do I rationalize revenue for that? Those are not answers we can give you today, but those are things that we are thinking about within the platform.
So a accelerator pack like that could literally be a connector to a data store, a visualization, or a single app,
yep,
right? Or it could be a full-blown app. So those are kind of for you to define.
Yep, exactly. So inside of here, if we actually look at this particular app, what we actually want to do is open up the visual designer for this application. And you'll see all of the entities and extensions that we've placed inside of this particular solution. And the only reason I'm not showing you how I built this is because the intent was to show you how to extend it, assuming that it's already here. But this particular solution is sort of a standard model of how we look at how somebody would extend the platform. This is actually a CDS app built through the Power App extensions in Solution Explorer.
So this is a model-driven app for those of you who come from the Canvas app or Power App side.
Yep, right. So now, on top of that, as you guys already noticed, because it was rendering, is what I've actually done is pre-created apps for Power BI. One of them is focused on, you'll see it here, focused on this particular solution. And you can actually see here, if I wanted to, I mean, I won't take the time at the moment, but you see, I could publish the app right now. Once I publish this Power BI app, I can then package it and share it across my organization or within AppSource and make that available to folks or, you know, other SIs, other partners to actually build on top of. The nice thing is that any of these analytics that are here, remember, they're actually extending the data model itself that is being used by that customer's tenant. So the idea here would be is, if you were going to leverage this actual solution, you would install this on your dev instances of CDS, and then you would extend it, you would package that up, and then you would deploy that through AppSource. The other thing is, and for folks who, I'm just curious, how many people use CDS 1.0? Okay. So for the folks who did use it before, they would have noticed that when you actually wanted to use CDS, it really wasn't connected to CRM. As Julie said before, you actually had to copy the data into CDS itself. With CDS 2.0, you can actually see here that when I log in, I can actually see all of the different environments that I have in Power Apps. Now, an environment is equal to an instance of CRM, for instance. So you'll see I actually have my default instance, and then I have an MS CDS build and MS CDS build instances of CRM. Automatically, I can actually see all of the entities that are in CDS and supporting that particular instance of customer engagement because it's the same backend. There's no special connector. There's no data movement. It is there and visualized for everyone to leverage. Now, there's one thing to note here. If I create an entity right now in this, it will show up in my CRM solution. But today, it'll show up in your default solution. We are going to be changing it so that you will be able to specify the solution that you want that particular entity to go into. Because obviously, you don't necessarily want to come in and create 30 entities and realize you shoved everything inside of your default solution. So when you extend them, it'll get smarter as we go along to enable you to rationalize what those changes are and where they're targeting.
And the reasoning there is obviously the Power Apps environment, or the common data service 1.0, didn't have the awareness of solutions, meaning whenever you create an entity in CRM or in the model-driven, you will see it in here, but you can't filter by a solution in the same way. That's why you have to add it later on automatically.
Is it worth the other way around?
My sincerest apologies. Could you ask that again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, does it work the other way around? If I create the entity in customer engagement, does it within my solution, does it then show up in here?
Yeah, and we're actually going to show that, because that's one of the big differences. As I mentioned earlier, if you are on 9.0 or greater, then what you just asked is 100% accurate. If you're on a previous 8.2, it's not, because they are separate still. So now what we actually want to do is take the solution that we have, and we actually want to extend this, right? So the first thing we're going to do is we go over to our, now, I do want to make one other point. Unfortunately, if you install the marketing app, which is one reason why I said use the sales or any of the other ones, if you install the marketing app today, unfortunately, the My Apps section, which should show up under settings, doesn't actually show up. And unfortunately, mine's a marketing one because I wanted to show you something, integration with the marketing app. So I had to actually go directly to it. So. First thing I want to do is I'm actually going to be inside of effectively customer engagement, and I'm going to create a new application. Now, here is where you can actually select whether you want to create a classic web application or a new UCI application. We're only focusing on UCI. If you build the standard web one, you can consider that just like being in standard sales, service, and marketing for CRM.
So that's a unified client
interface? Yep, it's a unified client. Yep.
Which essentially would allow you to build once and it shows up on the desktop, on mobile, and different devices, et cetera. We are moving towards making that more default experience, but still catching up on feature parity for that. But moving forward, that's also the richer experience you will see.
I'm just curious, has anybody in the room built apps on UCI this way yet? Cool. So effectively, everything you could do in your Solution Explorer in CRM, you can do here. There's actually a hybrid methodology to this. So first of all, you'll notice here that we have the sitemap. My recommendation for everybody that tries this, wait until you are done building your app to actually set your sitemap. That actually defines how it looks inside of CRM and how it looks inside of your app. But unfortunately, since you are actually building it based off of what's in your app, if it's not in your app yet, then your sitemap's not going to be very, very big. So the first thing I actually want to do is I actually want to create a new dashboard. And the reason I'm going to do a classic dashboard versus an interactive is one of the things I want to show you and that we talked a little bit about before is today we allow specific types of Power BI embedding inside of the product today for customer engagement. We're extending that more so that you can actually use user-based dashboards, filterable lists, the things that you actually want to do inside there to target, say, on the account form. But the other thing we wanted to support was the ability for us to cross embed. So what I actually did was I actually created a portal. I don't need the portal, but I created a portal because what I want to do is demonstrate the fact that I can embed my portal into this application and build marketing lists just by clicking through actually Power BI.
So you are embedding in embedding.
I'm embedding in embedding. Yeah, it's actually three layers of embedding. So for the folks, again, who are used to customer engagement, what happens now is the UCI client actually will kick you into the Solution Explorer sections. And I'm going to go through this and wipe these out since I don't need them. And I'm going to make sure we can see it. And we'll call this Ely Vaccine Marketing. Now, you'll notice two things here. Just like when you're in the standard CRM client, if you will, the Dynamics 365 client, if you go in there and you say, I want to create a new dashboard, in that UI, you can actually select a Power BI dashboard or you can select a standard dashboard. The reason that is because today, unless you do what I'm doing here, we only support user-based Power BI embedding. That means when you create a dashboard, as long as you're logged in, you can show something. But we don't support that at a system level yet. That's one of the things that we're actually adding into the platform now. And the reason is there's a whole bunch of stuff around security and modeling that has to do that. But that's why I actually built an app outside of it, so I could actually just embed the app into this. In the same way I would do this with any other Power app. And I'm going to turn this off since I don't need it. And now what I actually want to do is I want to, I know it seems a little weird, but I actually now have to select this particular marketing one. And then I'm actually going to go to my entities because I actually want to add marketing lists, because obviously the point is for me to demonstrate that we can actually create a marketing list via this. Now, one thing I recommend to folks is pick your default form. If it says all, this is a little backwards, all does actually mean all, but it doesn't select them. So it almost looks like it's not going to pick any of them. What it actually means is I'm picking all of them for you since you didn't pick something. I don't want that many, so therefore I'm just picking the one that I specifically want. And these are extension entities that did not exist as part of the application that I installed from the SI, for instance. They actually do extend the entities that came from the SI, but they don't affect the SI's installation at all. So they can actually still go and do upgrades on theirs, and it won't affect mine.
So essentially, when Michael is going to package his app up for resell, he will declare his dependency on whatever entities that came from that other app so that the customer can just store them in turn without Michael have to reinstalling all of that. But it
exactly.
will detect the dependency chain so it becomes more lightweight.
My apologies. My internet keeps dying for some reason. So what you actually will see in here is that while you're working on an app, you can just stop. And I know, like for myself, I was actually building a fairly large one the other day, and I walked away and forgot, and all my tokens and everything got wiped out. I was like, oh man. And then I remembered that it's actually just stored here. So if you're working on it, you can literally just make sure you save it and close it, but everything you're doing is actually cached within that. Now, the one thing I will tell you is anytime you do anything within this UI, if you'll notice in the far, I guess it would be your left, you'll actually see where it says, you know, designer and then bracket site. Well, for this, anytime you do anything within the site map, you actually have to save it here and publish that first. That actually has to be published prior to your actual application. So in this particular instance, we have a specific area within our site map, and then we have a subgroup of items that we want within our solution. So you'll see here, the dashboard is here. If I want to add another one, I can specifically specify what I want to add to this particular section. I can come over and drag another subarea and say I need another entity. And I can add in the vaccine type. Now I can add entities from any solution that's in CRM, as you normally do. When you do that, it will create a dependency for you. And when you try to build your application, when you try to validate your application, it will in fact tell you. So I'm going to save this and publish it. And what this is actually doing is going into the sitemap for customer engagement itself, because it has two layers now that it has to worry about. It has to worry about the UCI layer, as well as the standard customer engagement side. Now I can go back to my app, and I click validate. It says I'm good. So now I publish it. At that point, you're done. The application is actually built. What I want to show is, now if I come back over here and I refresh this, obviously there's my application. Now if I open this application up,
20 minutes left.
Okay. You can actually see now there is unfortunately we do have little hiccups here and there. You'll see this gap where my mouse is. For whatever reason, the marketing list icon doesn't want to show no matter what I tell it to do. So that's what that is. So what this actually is a visualization that I built in Power BI Desktop. I then went into Power BI, and I created an app space for it. Because again, I want to publish this as part of my overall app. Because again, Power BI is directly connected with customer engagement now. My apologies, I don't need that one or that one. So now I can actually, for instance, select this. Obviously, like most Power BI, they're filterable. Go ahead. You have a question?
I've heard people talk about this as CDSA apps.
So as a whole, we've kind of gone through a transition of what we keep calling this. So as a whole, the platform is called CDSA. A for apps and A for analytics. Originally, we called it CDST, transactional CDSA analytics. So what you said is accurate. It's just kind of gone through this evolution. So if somebody says to you CDSA, they may not actually mean analytics. So if you were talking to me specifically, I actually say the word fully. I don't just say CDSA.
But this is a Power BI analytics app, not a content pack.
That is correct. This is a Power BI app, which I then embedded in another app. And now I'm embedding in here.
So, but this also has to both with how the data flows in from the transactional layer into the analytical layer. It doesn't mean you always do that. So for example, you could easily create an app, a Power BI dashboard, directly on top on the transactional layer as well. So it's not like that has gone away. Think of the CDS for analytics as additional analytical capabilities on top of what you already have today. So a lot of this you can already do today without that additional processing capability.
Exactly. And one thing just before I click the button here to think about is when you work with Julie and myself and Ashwini and some of the other folks, we don't look at it from, even if you came to us and said, I'm a 100% analytic app, I don't want to talk about the transactional layer, go away. We would say we really respect that. Now let's talk about how you leverage the platform as a whole. Because as a whole, pretty much when you calculate answers in analytics, somebody wants to do something with that answer. It's nice to be pretty, it's nice to have it visual, and I'm not a great visual person, so I apologize for this, but you know, that's nice to look at. But if you want to make it actionable like this, then you're going to put more time into it to actually make it actionable. So now, what I ended up doing is saying, great, I want to create a marketing list, which in this particular instance is targeted at an account, because I leveraged account for this. So now, I got to click on marketing list, the one that's invisible.
So some of the custom entities Michael added was for vaccinations. So you can now go and see, based on the records for one, when the pet was last vaccinated, what are now the ones that are due, that we do a marketing campaign against, and using the visualizations for that.
Absolutely. Okay. And one thing I just want to show, and I'm purposely kind of going back and forth a little, because I want you guys to understand that the platform is really connected. So if I actually intentionally come over to, you see the new apps now, they're all listed right there. If I purposely now go back over to my standard CRM instance, which is still supported by the same CDS, everything is still the same stuff. And I apologize, my Wi-Fi is clearly not very good. Hello, there we go. You'll actually see from in here all of the data that you're creating from within the applications, because those extensions actually exist inside of CDS. So So you can see the marketing list there. Open it up. And see the fact that I have a lot of animals, more than on that screen, and it costs me a lot of money for vaccines every year. Now, one other important thing is, now we say, okay, great. One of the reasons why we did this application and this extension was not just to say, hey, look, we could create marketing lists, but the idea behind it is, but what now if I had a persona of somebody who actually received the calls, or they're sitting at the desk, the doctor, the vet has now done the vaccinations, and they're like, great, now I need to close this thing out. I actually need to close it out. So again, when you look, come over to Power Apps, now we're going to go into Power Apps. Now we can actually quickly build a straightforward Canvas-based application that will leverage either one of those solutions that we have, the new ones. And in this particular case, a lot of people ask us, do you only do phone apps and stuff? And the answer is no. It's really just a matter of, if you look here, those are just our default templates. So you'll see here, I'm not picking Dynamics 365 because I'm not connected to Dynamics 365 with a quote connector. I'm actually integrated with it in CDS, which is much different.
You're reading the data directly.
Right.
So if you think about the end-to-end, you could have had a business process that says, my patient come in, I check them in, I weigh them, I do all that good stuff, I leave the screen open, I do what I need and fill it out. That is totally a valid scenario. Then Michael would have extended the existing app. Here we are showcasing how you can create a companion app where you might have two different people with two different needs to just go and check the few things that they need to do in each of their apps.
Yep. And in this particular instance, what we're actually doing now is saying, great, you started out with a common data model platform, then you added your SI package on top of it, and now whether it's literally somebody who works at the vet, you wouldn't actually with all the customers you talk to, but I was actually quite surprised how many places I go where they're like, oh yeah, we do stuff all the time. You know, we buy something from you guys, we buy something from an SI or an ISV, and we actually do the work. Although I will say a lot of them actually do it within Excel. I think it's just kind of the place to go. So what I want to do, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, I want to be able to answer some questions, is within this app, it automatically provides you the CRUD capabilities out of the box. The nice thing is that literally within a few seconds, I can actually come in here, change the application to whatever fields, et cetera, that I want, right? And I won't go through all of it because we run out of time here. But once we're done and you've added the, what we will do is change right here. We can actually run this application. We can then sort by the different customers that we have. Yes, that is actually my mother's dog's name, Princess, or maybe it's a cat, I don't remember.
He doesn't even know if it's
a dog. I love my mother, but she has like too many for me to remember. But what you can actually do now, and I literally wrote no code, is I can easily come in and change the data if I want, edit this, or close out another option. And that quickly was now referenced in CDS. So if you were embedding this in Power BI, if you were embedding it in CRM, everywhere that you were using this data is updated that quickly. And so, as Julie mentioned, more and more we're having people say, well, I want to be able to embed Power BI inside of my Power Apps, or vice versa. So that's actually a big one that people do nowadays. So one of the big changes that they're working on is and this is the Power BI team specifically, how do we enable it so I can build a Power App that is focused on, if I select a particular record like a contact or account, that it'll auto filter, just like if you're in Power BI, right? So that's one of the things they're actually working on now. So the goal is, in any of our application spaces, you can have filterable reports that'll traverse whatever you have on the screen. All right. Any questions, thoughts?
So you earlier made the point that sometimes people say, I just want an analytics app and I don't want all the other things going on with these Power Apps and all these other entities and forms. Well, I just want an analytics app. When I distribute this to my customers, how do they discover that app? Because to them, merchandising this as. Yep. There's a Power BI integration that we have.
Yep.
So how do I distribute that to them in a way that doesn't feel too much of a burden for them to discover and install?
Yeah, so AppSource is the mechanism that we will leverage for all of our Power BI applications as well. And we are enhancing, so Shwini's team is actually looking at, from the ISV side, how to make what we do better for you guys. I don't mean Power BI better. I mean, how do we use our onboarding tools to be better for you? So part of it is we want to make sure that when you create an app, right, whether it's an analytic app or a transactional app or both, that everybody understands, A, how to build them quickly, how to market them effectively. And those are some changes that we're putting into the platform, because that's what makes it more discoverable. Obviously, if you put it out there, like Android has 7.6 billion apps or something, and you can't find it unless you know exactly what it is. So we're highly focused on how do we enable you to put the right keywords and vertical notions and things in there, as well as you can actually build, and I'm not sure if folks in this room have done this, you could actually build a test drive on Dynamics. And so a test drive actually allows you to say, well, I have an app, I want to create an instance, and I can actually record myself talking. I can make it interactive so they can click, and I can tell them what to do. And so they can actually try, not just a trial, it's an actual walkthrough from yourself. So you can actually do that, whether it's going to be Power BI that's supported or CRM.
And I guess for me, when I say to my customers, there's a Power BI integration, they would go to AppSource, they would see the integration listed in the marketplace. Do they need to care about CRM?
No, so here's the cool thing for you, my apologies, is in your app, for instance, and I'll talk about two different ways. Let's say that your SaaS application, and you say, well, there's really two scenarios that we talk about. User owns the data and app owns the data. And user owns the data, that is where it's in their tenant. App owns the data is more this SaaS model. So when you put your application in AppSource, you either already know before you did it whether you're the SaaS version or you're the tenant version. If you're the tenant version, you're going to include whatever connectors you need, because we have ISVs who do build analytic apps, and they're like, oh, well, I connect to an SIS to get some data. Can I package that up with my app? Yes, you can package that all up. So when they do it, they go click, deploy, close their eyes, I don't want to see anything, and then boom, all of a sudden the stuff just starts showing up in either their Power App or their customer engagement or F&O, depending on where they're doing it. If it is a SaaS implementation, it is still exactly the same, except there could be some, I'll say hand-holding, only from the context of we are working on making this way better, but the idea is you have to actually provide them secure credentials and stuff to connect, right? So it's over there. But you can provide all of that and what we call last, and also a last mile install thing, which actually would allow them to go into a UI that you build and you make it as part of your install. And it would actually come up and let them type stuff in, their license key, you could give it back to them that way and the install could continue. So it is actually possible to be hands-off. The one area that we are also still working on is dependency. So if you wanted to build an app that was dependent on Azure Functions, right? If it's part of Power BI, but maybe your tenant doesn't even have Power BI. Maybe they're like, man, I know I need this. And they go to install your app and your app says, well, I'm dependent upon X. And X isn't there, so therefore it doesn't work. Some of the stuff we're looking at is how do we make it so that if you're on AppSource, you can't even attempt to install that, or it'll come up and say, wait, you need to make sure you have these things. So we are spending a lot of efforts just on that part.
And also, just to be clear, from our perspective, we focus on the whole platform because we don't want it to be hard to connect these dots, right? Before, it literally was four different data stores, completely isolation. If you did want to integrate, you had to enable data movement. Here we're just saying we want it to be super seamless. And we do see part in healthcare, we do see ISVs built the transactional side apps really focused on that business process and the work going into that. And analytical ISVs building on top of that. And to that extent, they have analytical practices and doesn't build transactional apps, but we see them very often collaborate and say, how can you build analytical packages on top of transactional apps? So what we see, at least from a customer perspective, they care about both. It doesn't mean that's built by a single ISV.
Yep. Right? And as we kind of talked a little bit before is, we have these scenarios sometimes where somebody was a complete SaaS analytic application. And then we said, yes, but if you were to look at extending the data model for both their analytic and transactional space, and at first a lot of them were like, I don't understand how they leverage what I do in the transactional space. So we had to sit down and kind of say, here's how it would work, but don't forget when you put it there, it actually flows back. And then we have other folks who say, well, I'm used to going out and getting data from CRM. So can I still do that? The answer is 100% yes. Our CDS SDK is I'll say, effectively the same as if you were using the XRM SDK. But the benefit is that since that's one stack and all that data flows into the analytics stack, automatically you can say, great, I want to use AI and ML out of the box on there. If you want to write Spark jobs, and those are things that you can then install on their tenant. You're not going to pay for it. So that's what some of our larger analytic players are doing, saying, hey, for these sets of analytics, I don't actually care that it's SaaS. So why am I paying to have that in Azure? I'll move it over to the customer's tenant, and you can actually specify how much power, if you want to say it that way, is necessary for them to run your particular application in their space. And so they can just extend what they're doing, the bigger they are.
Okay.
What's the timeline for Canvas packaging, apps flows?
The goal, we are literally working through it now. I think there's no official commit date, but we are hoping, we're working actively towards it, hoping fall, hopefully earlier, but I'm being conservative, but yes.
So I have two questions. First question is, what's the support for the on-premise solution? If this new trend does this new trend has a dependency on Azure here?
So as a whole, I'll kind of answer the second part first. So as a whole, we are spending much more of our efforts on building this stuff out in the cloud because that's where we feel this stuff is you know really needs to be, especially for at scale. There are some aspects of this which will be on-premise. Obviously, you can use Power BI on-premise today. There's a form of Power Apps on-premise today. But our main focus is in the cloud. That being said, and depending on where your stuff is, you can still leverage CDS and talk to all the systems you have on premise, and it's fully data compliant and everything. So it may not be that you're always 100% in the cloud, but it is possible to build your apps in the cloud, run them internally, and still point to the systems that you have.
Okay. So my second question is, we have a product is about a decade old. So we still have like half of the client currently still seeking the CRM 4.0. And half of the client already updated to CRM 365, 8.2. So in this situation, I see this like, how can we migrate, you are talking about 10 years of customer data into this new thing here. So what's the consideration for the ISV here?
Yes, I mean honestly, that's a problem whether or not it's 10 years old or literally we've had instances where people spun up trials for 20 days and then went, oh man, I need this in my real tenant. What the heck do I do now? So part of the problem is from the perspective of what the entity model looks like for the CDM, there's going to be two things. One, which is it's XRM, which you have in 2004, but it has progressively gotten larger even for XRM and different. And then you have the fact that on top of that, we're trying to rationalize what does account look like across everywhere, not just XRM. So unfortunately for someone like yourself, it's probably going to be much more of a customized hand-holding exercise where you're going to need help to actually do that. So we don't per se, and maybe you guys are changing this, I don't know, but we don't out of the box provide migration tools from, you know, CRM 4 up to, well, pretty much anything nowadays, unfortunately. Yeah, so for on-premise, and this is probably a better question for Matt, and I know we got to go, is there are going to be some changes, but our intent was to keep it as closely compatible as possible between 8.2 and 9. But saying that, last comment I'll make is 9 is our first release of CRM, where CRM customer engagement itself actually had feature parity with what's online. That doesn't mean CDS. It just means in the context of sales, service, and marketing. So there are going to be some changes that affect you, but not as, if you're talking about 8.2, some changes that will affect you, but it won't be anywhere near as bad as 4.0. Some folks migrated to Nino with no issues. So there's no guarantee without me looking at your solution to be able to say whether it will or won't. But it is possible you'll have no problems. All right.
We'll hang out after here as well. But there's 1 minute and two slides left where you were done with
the
whole demo flow. So just let's finish that one up. So literally AppSource. Obviously, there is a theater session tomorrow. Recommend you to go. This is really the way where you showcase the marketplace for end users to go and discover. And this is literally just a summary of what we went through. Again, you saw the entities created in one environment showing up in the other. We saw the two different app building experiences, the model driven for the business process, actually, and the Power BI and the Canvas driven for the companion app. And again, that last build could be just done by the customers themselves. It doesn't need to come out of the ISV solution. So how we customized extended by adding both the two different app experiences as well as the BI pieces to it. The embedding, the other thing here, actually embedding all of the apps built here can show up in Teams. They're literally one click. So inside Teams, there is an experience for rendering apps in there, which we see a great demand for, as well as in SharePoint, obviously. And then the publishing process. So essentially, once it shows up there on the portal, you are ready to distribute that throughout the organization. These are really it. This is just a different pivot of the opportunities we talked about initially. Because when you think about the XRM platform or Dynamics, we always talked about extending Dynamics 365, right? With this merge of platforms, there's so much more to be done. So obviously, extending the common data model, if you have vertical specific entities and models you want others to contribute to leverage, that is definitely something to consider. And then extending finished SaaS solutions that doesn't extend 365, and then the data enrichment services and add-ons, like we see, like if you know partners like Prophecy that are doing data cleansing, et cetera, Dun & Bradstreet, where you can look up customer references.
All the MDM, yeah.
All the master data management pieces, we have partners delivering that as part of solutions as well. Obviously, custom connectivity, custom visuals, custom controls, which I think some have access, it's in preview, but something we plan to deliver as well. So to deliver custom controls. And then obviously everything you can do for the platform, you can do for Dynamics as well. So you might create, for example, data cleansing specifically for sales or specifically for any of the apps. And then the last one, extend what we call the SaaS app, the multi-tenant app built not necessarily on the platform, where you can still leverage the capabilities in terms of flow and connectors, as well as Power BI. And again, the Canvas-driven content isn't there yet. That's something we would like to enable. So if you have feedback, we would love to hear that. And just example of ISVs, these are all out. You can search for them. There's case studies for most of these. But these all represent completely different type of ISV solutions, like Dun & Bradstreet providing reference data, TriBridge healthcare vertical, right? BankSight built a completely CRM solution on top of the platform.
Yeah, they don't even use our UI.
They don't use our UI. You will never know they built on our platform. But again, they leverage the entities that there's Advantage
analytics
use as well. So they go together. They do solutions, one the app layer and one the analytical for credit unions. So they are going to say it's like a member is different than a customer. We want to go together and build solutions that are more optimized for that specific customer segment, right? So that's where we start to see some of the flywheel go on the platform. With that, we are on a little bit over time. These are some of the sessions that will double click on multiple of these pieces. They're all tomorrow. We obviously only added future sessions. So one on the common data service is really around extending the business model or the common data service on custom control. And the second one is really on the core platform on CDS and below. So really all the core activities there. And then the app source session, that is the theater session, which is all also there tomorrow. With that, thank you for your time. Any questions? We'll hang out for a bit.
Feel free to LinkedIn and send questions or
yes.
Email me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.